Good morning. God bless each one of you for coming out. We greet you in Jesus' name this brand new Lord's Day and a brand new year. As I was studying, I had this one verse jotted down in my notes. And about that time, Brother John sent a message around on the Brother's Inspiration Chat with the same verse. Who can tell me what that verse was? Anybody see it? I don't always see them. John's peeking around the corner. He probably remembers. But even the verse before that, Jeremiah 1, verse 5, and I thought about this verse, you know, in relation to the year we've just come through, 2021. Some trials, some troubles for some. But Jeremiah 1, verse 5 says, and this is in the NIV, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." You know, as we look at 2021, there was trials for some of you. But I want to encourage you this morning that whatever God asked you to go through last year, whatever He asked us to go through this coming year, it's all in His plan. That verse says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God has a plan for each and every one of us. From the day of our death to the day of our birth, He has a plan. He knows our beginning and He knows our end. So take courage in that God has a plan for you. And He's going to set you apart. And then the verse that Brother John sent is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You know, I find comfort in that. That no matter what happens, God has a plan for our lives. Some of us could look back over years of our life. Some of us have gone through pain of losing a companion. Others lost a child. But God is there to walk through that with us, and He has plans for each one of us. And it's all to make us better and not bitter. And then the rest of those verses there in Jeremiah 29:11, I just read, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Verse 12, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." What a wonderful promise as we look into the new year. God says, "I will listen to you. I will hear you when you seek me with all your heart." So that's my desire this morning, that as we look in this new year, that we could hear the voice of God, that we would seek Him with all our heart. And I spend about an hour each day on the road to and from work, and sometimes I listen to singing, sometimes preaching, And one day I was just marveling at the promises of God as we look at life. Life is full of promises. You know, people promise everything, and we all like promises because promises give us a sense of security. There's just security in a promise. But as we look about us in the world, there are so many promises that are broken. We see homes that are destroyed. We see marriages that are falling apart. The promises are broken. The government promises all kinds of things. They don't fulfill their promises. You know, there's just many, many areas of this broken, sinful world. Many promises that are made that are never fulfilled. But one thing that we can stand on, we can count on, is that God's promises are sure. As we look at Webster, Webster says, and I like to use the Webster Dictionary from the 1800s, where it has reference to God in, but Webster says the promise of God is the declaration or assurance that God has given his word of bestowing blessings on his people, and he cannot fail of performance. So God is a faithful God. He is a loving God. He performs on time every time. You know, in our work, you know, brokers, they promise this and they promise that, and drivers, they promise to be there by a certain time. Everybody promises, 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 but nobody fulfills. But you can count on it. God will fulfill every promise. His words are sure. Okay, children, I didn't forget you. Remember, I said it every time, I want you to be involved so you can go home with something. So who can tell me, let's say ages 13 on down, who can tell me some promises that God made in the past? Okay? That Jesus would return. Okay, that's a promise. We haven't seen it fulfilled yet, but he has promised that. That's very true. Any more? Okay? He'd never flood the earth again. That's right. That's what he told Noah. Is there any others? He would take care of us. That's true. Any others? Okay? That's right. God promised that the Messiah would come. In the Old Testament, through the book of Daniel, through the book of Isaiah, he went into detail of how this is all going to take place. This was promises that God made. How about some more? Is there any others? Did he promise Noah anything? He already mentioned that he's not going to flood the earth again. But there's another promise that I'm thinking of in relation to the flood. Or after the flood, maybe. Anybody remember what that... Well, it's tied in the same thing. But when God put that rainbow in the sky, that was a declaration, a sign of his promise that he will never flood the earth again. And that's always a comfort to me when I see a rainbow, especially when we lived in Haiti with all the darkness there and everything else, and you see a rainbow, it's like, wow. God didn't forget us. God is still keeping his promise today. And another promise that I thought about that God made was to Simeon. Who can tell me what God promised Simeon? Say that again. That's right. That he would not die until the Messiah come. And God kept his promise again. As we go through the word, there is not one single promise that God made that he did not keep or that he will not keep. There are some of them that are not fulfilled yet. And so when I was thinking about God's promises, I didn't even realize that I was going to preach yet. But I was just blessed. I found encouragement for my own heart, to think about God's promises, about his words that are sure. He never, never fails. And so this morning we want to look at God's promises. God has promises to the Christian, to the believer, and he also has words to the unbeliever. And so most of the promises, you know, are in a positive way. But God also has some things to say to the unbeliever, to those who are living carelessly or even recklessly. And so God's word has something to say about that too. So I don't know. I don't know deep inside each one of your hearts today. There may be some here today who are not living in victory. There may be some here who have not surrendered their life to Christ, who never had assurance of salvation. And so God has promises for you too today. Today is the day of salvation. Today would be a wonderful day on this brand new day of a brand new year to make your calling and the election sure. Psalm 33 verse 4 says, "The word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in everything he does." Now, most of the verses that I'm going to read this morning, I'm going to read in the NIV version, which has a way of making it easier to understand. And so if you wonder what Bible I'm reading, it's the NIV version. But then God has some things to say to the wicked, and I'm sure to those of you who are a child of God would certainly understand this from maybe past experience or just watching those around you. But Isaiah 48 verse 22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." Now, as we look about us, as we relate to people out there in our jobs and everything else, in the wicked world, we realize that there is no peace. There just isn't any peace. Then Isaiah verse 57 verse 20 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." If any of you have gone fishing on a troubled sea, recently some of us went fishing. My brother and I went, and some of my nephews, and I would have called it a troubled sea. The captain said I forget what term he used, but it was 8 foot high. I mean, we really rocked and we rolled, and some of them got sick. But that's what I would say is a troubled sea. And the wicked are like that. One day they're up, and the next day they're down. They cannot rest. Even when they lay down in their beds at night, they don't find rest because their heart is not at rest. And God said there is no peace for the wicked. There's a quote that I saw on a bumper sticker. One of my customers come into my shop many years ago. It was a bumper sticker on his truck, and I never forgot it, and I've seen it a few times since. I'm going to put it up on the board here, and it's sort of a play on words, but it's very true. How many of you have seen that quote before? Yeah, I think that's a very good quote. It's just, it speaks volume. As a Christian, we know God. We know God in our heart. And we know peace. We know what it is to lay down in our bed at night and sleep and know that if the Lord came tonight, hallelujah, we're ready to go. But then to the wicked, they don't know God. There's no God in their life. There's no God that gives them direction. There's no God that speaks to them. Or maybe he speaks to them, but they don't hear. And in the end, they have no peace. And so let's be on the believing side, and let's know God in our heart, and let's know the peace that he gives. Proverbs 29 verse 1 also says to the wicked, "Whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy." You know, one of the children mentioned that God promised that he will come again, and that is very true. The day of the Lord will come. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you," in John 14, and he said, "I will come again." He's preparing a mansion for us. That is a promise that we can count on. We can bank on that because God keeps every promise. I'd like to read 2 Peter verses 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. And this speaks to the wicked, also speaks to the child of God. If you want to follow after in your Bible, or you can just listen again. I'm going to read it in the NIV. It says in verse 1, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago it was by God's word the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, which is God's word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." You know, here we have a passage of scripture that talks to the day and age that we're living in right now. I mean, we have scoffers out there. I mean, I've heard people say, "Yeah, my grandfather said the Lord's coming soon." You know, my great-grandfather. I mean, there's scoffers out there that say that. They just think they can live recklessly, they can live carelessly, because he won't come for a long time. Somebody just told me recently, and I can't think right now who it was, it's good I don't, but he said he doesn't think Christ is going to come right now because not all his prophecies have been fulfilled. Well, to me, I said to this, I consider him my brother, I said, "Well, so why do we even live holy lives then? Let's just live recklessly. If that's the case, if the Lord can't come now, then why should we worry about it?" Well, he didn't know what to say, but I thought that was a pretty lame excuse. And to me, that's a scoffer. That's a scoffer. And it says here that we have these people around us. They deliberately forget that long ago it was by God's word that the heavens came into being and the earth was formed. It was by the same word, God's promises that he always keeps, that the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire. And then down in verse 9 of 2 Peter 3 there, and in the NIV, it showed me another a thought that I didn't think of before, but it says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He's not slow in destroying the earth. He's not, in other words, that some people understand slowness. Instead, he's being patient. It's not his will that any perish. And so if you think, Lord, why don't you come today? It's because of his long-sufferingness. It's because of his patience. And he is just holding off that more could find repentance. But rest assured, the day of the Lord will come. That there we can count on. It says the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And so let's take heed to that warning as we look into this new year, and let's keep ourselves in the love of Jesus, and let's be on our guard so that we're not carried away by the error of the wicked one. And as we see apostasy on the rise everywhere we look, I mean, friends and loved ones just turning their back on truth and going the wrong direction, and it's all signs of the times of the last days. Then I also would like to look at two examples in the Old Testament of testimonies of patriarchs, of how they viewed God's promises. In 1 Kings 8, verse 54, we have Solomon says this: when Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. He stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses." It says, not one word has failed of all his promises. Again, I want to remind you that God will keep every promise that he has made. God is faithful. He has always been faithful, and he always will be faithful. He was and is and will be, because he's God. How are we on our promises? Do we promise things that we don't fulfill? The scripture says that it's better not to make a vow or not to make a promise if you're not going to keep it. So let's be careful what we promise. Then we also have the account of Abraham. I don't think there's anyone here this morning that's 90 or even 100 years old, not very close. We're still pretty far from that yet. But in Romans 4, verses 18 to 25, it says this about Abraham: against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Remember, God had told him that his offspring is going to be like the sand of the sea. And so this is what he told Abraham, and Abraham believed this. So verse 19 says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. As I read that passage of scripture, I just had to wonder, if I was Abraham, what if I had the faith to believe? Would my faith have been as strong as what Abraham's was? Here he was almost 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. I mean, you figure you're probably getting to the close of life, but yet it says that Abraham, without weakening in his faith, he still had this promise of God that his seed will be like the sand of the sea. He did not waver. it's just remarkable to me that even in that experience of life, that he did not waver. May we be even as Abraham, that we would not waver regarding the promises of God. For us today, what is God promising to us? You know, what are you struggling with? What are you fearing in the past or in the future here? Is this thing right? It keeps hissing back at me. Is that the way it should be? Can't get used to this thing around my ear. But Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So as we look into 2022, I think God's words to us is fear not. Be not dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. So what are you fearing this morning? Are you fearing COVID? That's all people think about anymore. They get a common cold and they, "Oh, I got COVID. Thank you, Titus. Maybe it's not COVID that you fear. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe you have, as you got on a highway, you fear an accident. If you go to Haiti with me, maybe you're going to fear kidnapping. Maybe you fear financial failure. Maybe you fear you're not a good mother. You're not a good father. Maybe my children. I don't like the way my children are behaving. I don't like, you know, things I see. Some of my own failures coming out of my children. What about my children's future? What about their health? There are many, many, many things that we can fear. But God's word to us is, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand." James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." That's a promise that we can bank on. God says, "Come near to me, and I will come near to you." But we need to make the first move. God is just sitting there longing, waiting for us to draw nigh to him so he can bless us. And as we do that, as we submit ourselves to God, as we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Says, "The Lord himself goes before you, and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Can we fully grasp and understand that word never? Never. Never. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. I probably mentioned this before, but when my wife and I go to a wedding and we hear the fluffy vows that everybody makes, "I will never leave you. I will never stop loving you." They have all these fluffy vows that they make to each other. "I love you forever," is what some of the vows are. And we tremble when we hear that because it's not true. It's not true, because marriage is not forever. Both of us having lost our companions, it ends when they take their last breath. And so be careful what you promise. But God has promised he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And then in James 1, verses 2 to 5, it says, "Consider it pure joy, My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of us lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And then down in verse 12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. My brothers and sisters, I have to confess that I have not arrived at that one. It says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. So I want to see a raise of hands. How many of you count it pure joy when you face a trial? Well, I guess we all have room to grow. But that's what the scripture says, to count it pure joy. King James Version says it produces, the trying of our faith worketh patience. But the NIV says it works perseverance. So may we count it joy when trials and troubles and tribulations come into our life, because God wants us to persevere. He wants to do a work in our hearts. He wants to make us better, not bitter. So let's persevere so that he can make us mature and complete. And it says that he will bless those who persevere under trial. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, as we face those trials, those tribulations, remind ourselves, may we remind ourselves of the promises of God, which are true and sure. May we put on the full armor of God that we can stand against the devil's schemes. We have been called to fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight, but it is a battle. So we better have a clear vision of what we're fighting for, or know what we're fighting against, because we are fighting against the rulers and darkness of this world. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, to those that have fought this good fight, have finished the race, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. So don't get discouraged, my brother, my sister, my friend. Keep fighting the good fight, because God's words are true, and he has promised each one of us a crown of righteousness if we're faithful. Jesus was talking to Martha in John 11 when he was raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whosoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do we believe that this morning? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Even though this earthly body dies, yet will we live. We will live forever. In John, 1 John 2, 24 and 25, as for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. Again, he promised us eternal life. If we fight the good fight, if we are faithful, Then in John 14, verses 15 to 21, we're promised the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. John 14, verse 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. This morning, every one of us likes when our family members and others tell us they love us. There's a security in knowing that you're loved. Every child here this morning needs to be told by their parents, I love you. Some of us have not grown up with that. Some of us were not used to that. But that's important. It's important as children of God that we know that God loves us. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. But it says here that if we love him, we will obey him. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So let's express our love to each other and to God. And he will love us and guide us. Revelation 21. Verses 3 to 7 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. This morning we are promised eternal life. We are promised a home in heaven with him if we're faithful, if we're victorious. He has promised to be our God if we're his children. So as we face this new year, let's day by day remind ourselves of God's promises. God's words are true. Every promise he has ever made, he will fulfill. May God bless each one of you.